Ottawa, Connecticut. 70 degrees out. Beautiful spring evening. I'm Mike DePalma. To my right, I got my co-host, Neil Lynch. Behind the glass, I got Tony D.
Yeah.
We got a full show for you guys today. We got a nice guest coming up. First, it's just obviously, we're not going to touch too much on it, but we got to just mention how awful the events were on Monday with the bombing there at Boston Marathon. And it was, sports related wise, it was good to see New York and Boston bury the hatchet for a few days. And obviously last night, Yankees played Sweet Caroline in the third inning. I thought that was pretty awesome. They all over the stadium, they had, we're stand together, New York stands with Boston. So it was pretty cool to see that come together. We're going to take a shot actually for the victims. We got a shot of Fireball in front of us right now. I don't know if this is FCC regulated, but you know what? NDB Media. We got a shot of Fireball. Gene Don. And that's for, that's so good. That's obviously for all the victims. It's pretty horrible. But interestingly enough, we talk about the two towns coming together over the last few days of Boston and New York. And look, lo and behold, this weekend, NBA playoffs start. And who's matching up? New York Knickerbockers against the 7-seed Boston Celtics. And we'll start out the show talking about the NBA because I'm pretty excited about these playoffs, Tone. I mean, the Western Conference is going to be as exciting a playoffs. I mean, you could look up and down. There's storylines in every one of those games. Still going into tonight, the 8-seed's got to be decided. The 4-5-seed's got to be decided for home court there. So there's a lot going on there. But let's just start out with the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks talk about a roller coaster of a season. They start out 16-5. They go 500 for the next 40-some-odd games. And then they just rattle off 13 straight when people were starting to write them off. Carmelo Anthony wins the scoring title. And you look at Knicks fans now, compared to where they were 3 weeks ago, you would honestly think this is the best team ever assembled. I mean, I think if you were handicapped, if you just asked a random Knicks fan on the street and handicap it, yeah, we're going to win. They would give you 1-2 odds on that. I mean, Neil, as a casual basketball fan,
yeah.
How much? What is the
business
real Knicks
casual.
Team? Business cash. What is the real Knicks team? Is it the team we saw that bookended the season, the start and end of the season, or is it the middle, or are they somewhere in between?
Well, I mean, I've said this all season. You can't get a good read on them at any point.
No.
Just because they've had four or five different personalities throughout the season, from when they got off to the hot start to when they got into the slump on the road, to Melo's injuries, Kmart going down. Amari's reemergence. I mean, it was just a multitude of storylines. But if you're a Knicks fan, they triumphed throughout.
Yeah.
They persevered. And so I think that's why you have a lot of confidence on their end of the spectrum. But at the same time, how can you take the Celtics lightly?
Oh, 100%. I agree with you. I know they're just battered with injuries, obviously with Rondo, and even Sullinger was coming on into his own before he got hurt. Garnett's been banged up. They got Pierce missed some time down the stretch. But, yeah, how could you possibly doubt them? And you look at a guy like Doc Rivers, who I think is one of the better coaches in the whole league, being able to adapt the team, adapt the roster. They get older. They change. He turned the keys over to Rondo as he got older, and they trying to change their offense a little bit. And you got veterans that are just hungry. You got guys like Kevin Garnett, which I know is a very polarizing figure, especially in New York, but – I love Kevin Garnett, and I don't think there's any phoniness. I know a lot of Knicks fans want to think he's like a phony tough guy. I don't see that. And I think, Tony, you might have said you thought he was a phony tough guy.
No, not me.
No.
That was all.
He doesn't believe in anybody.
Yeah.
The whole thing is amazing. He's like Alex Jones. The whole thing is a conspiracy.
That's one giant zero with Kevin Garnett right there.
Right, Kevin Garnett. So how do you see the series matching up? I mean, what I worry about with the Knicks, now obviously I got some skin in the game now because one of my bold predictions were they weren't going to get out of the first round. I'm pretty sure they're pretty odds-on favorite to win this first round. Yeah. But, you get a team that's up and down like they are, and they're still relying on the three, which gives them the potential to beat anybody. Because if you're hitting your threes like they hit during their stretch, then, yeah, nobody's going to beat you. And if you have a guy like Carmelo that's going to be unstoppable and, hitting shots to the hand and the face, 100% I agree. And what I liked out of them during the stretch was that they were going to the hole a little more. J.R. Smith all of a sudden decided, yeah, I can take the ball to the hole.
Yeah.
Which you need to do. You need to do that in the playoffs, especially because, shooting is going to get hot and cold. Getting to the line by driving to the rim, getting people in foul trouble, getting into their second, to your guys. That's a huge deal. So that, to me, the key to the series, I am completely confident Carmelo's going to ride his hot streak and do well in the playoffs. The key to the series is J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith is going to be a legitimate second option, getting to the line, not going on his 3-for-15 swings that he does. I just don't think – I could see him reverting back to his J.R. Smith not doing that type of game. I just see that happening under the spotlight. This guy wants to be a superstar so badly.
And
he's got John Starks written all over him.
Yeah, but you have a lot of media types that want to see him like this. They want this to be his coming out party.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's been a long time in the making. I mean, he's, what, nine-year veteran, right? He's been in the league for a long time.
He's been all over the world. He was he was playing in China, and he got kicked out of the country or something for not showing up or did something.
Yeah. Too many tattoos.
I don't like the neck tattoos. Keep it below the neck.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's you hit the nail on the head. I think a lot of people would argue that Melo, even though he has a hot hand, has a tendency to shoot a little too much. And that, you know, if he takes – if there are 10 questionable shots that he takes per game, if he could reduce that to 5, I mean, you're talking about that's a 5- to 10-point swing
100%.
That could be in their favor, and it could turn an L into a W.
But what I like about the – and I'm not saying I think that the Celtics are going to win, but what I like about them is the matchup is good because they are a trash-talking, gritty, veteran team that'll know how to get in the heads. They'll be – telling him to shoot from wherever. And
they've already been in Melo's head.
They've been in Melo's head.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They'll be in his head. You're going to see J.R. Smith pulling up with, 18 seconds left on the clock from 3 feet behind the arc, throwing up, three-pointers. That's going to happen. And I think that the wild card for them is Jeff Green. And he was a guy, obviously, when they got him, they had high hopes for Jeff Green. He had the crazy health issues that knocked him out of the league for a while. And he started out slow. He had a good preseason. Everybody was high on him. I know I drafted my fantasy team because I thought he was going to be a consistent guy. He got off to a very poor start shooting-wise. But he had stretches during the second half of this season where he was legit. I mean, dropping 30, several times in the stretch. So I think he's a guy that can completely counteract J.R. Smith, except that he's not that type of me-first guy. So I think that he could be the answer to what the Knicks have in J.R. Smith. And the fact that they're going to be in their face.
Well, and that's how they're going to win the series, is with defense.
Yeah.
They have to shut down, in my opinion, that they'll lose a game here or there by shutting down Melo and Smith, but they won't lose the series. If you can take away Smith, his access to the lane, and block him off before he can get within a fair amount of distance to the hoop, and you can also stick on Melo. I mean, if they can play gritty defense, which they can.
Yeah,
I think that they have a shot to take this to 7.
Yeah, I mean, I think I could see this series going the distance. It's going to be an entertaining series. Although the Knicks, that start of the season where they were averaging double digit wins for the first 15 games or whatever it was, and then during this stretch, I mean, they were pounding good teams. It wasn't just like they were, they got the streak started with some easy wins against some easy teams, but they were beating good teams at full strength, and so they have that ability. That's what the Celtics have to avoid. Even if they lose game one, but it's one of those gritty games where they tire out the Knicks and really get into the fact that they're an older team, then that's exactly the way they do it. And so, I don't know, I could see this series going the distance. I hope it does. I think it's going to be an interesting 2-7 series, which you normally don't see that often in all of sports. Let alone basketball, where typically the top, especially in the East in the last few years, if you're getting into the Eastern Conference playoffs as a 7th seed, you're usually garbage. But, I don't think that they want to play Boston in this series, even though they might match up on paper well with them. I could see that being super tough for the Knicks. And I know Knicks fans are completely looking over it, and that's what I worry about. I mean, you listen to the fan or ESPN radio, even talk to a friend of yours at the bar, they're talking about is Miami Heat, Miami Heat, Miami Heat. They got a long way to go to the Miami Heat, getting over the Celtics and then the Pacers.
Yeah.
That's a long way to go before you get to Miami Heat. Those are two very good teams and playoff-ready teams.
Who knows what's going to happen with the Bulls? I mean, the Knicks have not been too great about with the Bulls this year. So, I mean, there are a couple teams that, they have iffy records against. So.
Well, let's get into the Bulls then, because that's the thing that's up in the air. I mean, the 8 teams are set. It's just a seeding issue for tonight's games. And, you know, the Knicks are playing the Hawks tonight. They're not starting anybody. So you got to assume the Hawks are going to win this game, knowing that the difference between playing the Indiana Pacers and the Brooklyn Nets are pretty big. As big of a Nets fan as I am, you would love to play Brooklyn and the Jekyll and Hyde team that they are. So that's a big game for them. But the Bulls hold the tiebreaker. So the Bulls, if they both win tonight, the Bulls get that 5 seed. Now, if you're a Nets fan, clearly you want to play the Atlanta Hawks.
The Hawks, yeah.
You're rooting for everything.
Just so Joe Johnson can get his revenge.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, I don't even think that the Nets are like a surefire bet to beat the Hawks either. The Hawks are the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
I mean, they are a team that's Jekyll and Hyde, beat up on the bad teams, struggle against the good teams type team. It'll be an interesting series either way because you're going to have the well-coached Chicago Bulls, and I think Thibodeau is as good as there is, at least in the Eastern Conference. He's got to be the best coach in the Eastern Conference, if not the entire NBA, with all due respect to Popovich out there in the West. But, you don't want to get into the playoffs. Look, PJ's done an admirable job, but they're the same exact team as they were at the beginning of the season, where they go through these quarters where they're just non-existent. And you look at them, you say, well, they dominated for 3 quarters, and yet they lost by 10 points. How is that possible? Because they scored 5 in the third quarter. And they've been doing it all season. I've never seen a team do this before. It's insane how consistently they have a horrible quarter.
It's insane.
I've never seen anything like it. Now, walk me through that. I mean, let's assume that it stays as is and they play the Bulls. I could see the Bulls being favored in that series, despite not having home court. I don't think that Brooklyn is as hyped up as the new arena is. It's not a huge home court advantage as they had hoped because they've lost a lot of games they should have won at home.
Yeah.
So it's not like they are just gangbusters at home. And so, I think that they're going to be underdogs if they face Chicago in the first round.
Jay-Z could have something up his sleeve.
On a little going-away present to Brooklyn?
Yeah.
I could see that. I could see Hove having something to do with that.
Yeah.
But,
like tonight's referee, Beyonce!
Yeah, Beyonce will be full. She will get her face time, I'm sure. But, you look at the rosters, you say, well, Brooklyn, roster-wise, is going to dominate them. And I think matchup-wise even, one of the strengths of the Nets is their rebounding and their toughness inside. Even though they don't get scoring inside because Brook Lopez, although he's a center, gets most of his points outside of the paint, they got Reggie Evans, who I've been singing his praises for 2 months. He's the best rebounder in the league, and it's not even close.
Dude removes his own teeth on the court.
Yeah, he's a tough dude.
Yeah.
He's a tough dude. Andre Blatch, they got guys that could bang around in there. And so you think, okay, matchup-wise, if they want to play the inside paint game, we'll be able to out-rebound
them. It's like a psychological thing with them. It has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's got to refer back to the coach, no?
A little bit, yeah. You got to put them in the right mental state.
Maybe Johnson was the scapegoat. Not saying he did a great job, but nothing changed. They just happened to, when Carlissimo took over, they just happened to have 2 of the easiest games, and all of a sudden, oh, look, they're 2-0 under PJ, and then it's rolled from there. But they never got any better. I don't think that they're any different than they were beginning of the season.
He did, I guess the one big move that he made was that he kind of took it to K-Hump and was like, yo, K-Hump, yeah,
deuces.
We don't need you, bro.
Thanks for
You better decrease your entourage by a couple guys.
That $12 million, we're still going to give it to you, but you are not a part of this team.
Yeah. So, and he responded to that. So I feel like, maybe it's the little things that you don't see on tape. It might be in the locker room. It might be in practice. It's just something that says, because I liked Avery Johnson, too. I think he was a good coach. So it was, and I if I had to go with someone head-to-head, I would pick Avery over PJ.
Well, it's just for the press conferences alone, that voice.
Yeah.
I love everything about little Avery Johnson.
Yeah.
But my thing is, with the Nets, I mean, if you were to really look at the Eastern Conference, throw away the Heat because they're in a class of their own, nobody's got a better 1-2 punch scoring-wise than Brooklyn when you got D. Will and Joe Johnson, even though you know how much I dislike D. Will. You look at that 1-2 scoring punch, you say, I'll take that with anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, actually, the only other team you could really throw in there with that is Milwaukee with Jennings and Monta Ellis. But,
well, and Brook Lopez has the potential to blow up.
Yeah.
Occasionally,
I mean, he's a 19-point-a-game guy, all-star. Yeah. I mean,
And he has the potential. I mean, in my mind, he could get 20 a game if he really wanted to. I mean, he's an all-star this year, and I think that he's only getting better. And he's got a pretty sweet voice as well.
He does. He's got his own. He's the opposite of the Avery Johnson. I just worry about a big man that gets all of his points from his little, you know, mid-range jump shot. I think that a good defending team like Chicago could frustrate that and get him far enough away from the basket where he's out of his comfort
and then
zone.
Gobble up rebounds, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't rebound at all for a big guy. I think he's 5 or 6 rebounds a game for a guy 7 feet is pretty atrocious. But I agree with you. He's got a very soft touch for a big guy. He's not overly athletic, but he could shoot. You know, that little mid-range jump shot as good as anybody his size in the league right now. So, you know, he's got a little bit of Amari in him that way, where that's how he wants to play. He likes to play with his face at a basket.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You post up Reggie down below, and as weird as it sounds, you keep Brook kind of near the elbow, mid-range,
yeah.
And then you have D-Will, like, penetrating either dish to Brook or Reggie underneath. I think that, you know, that could be a formula for success.
I don't disagree that if Reggie Evans had any semblance of an offensive game, I just think that a good defensive team is going to take that and say, we know you're not giving the ball to Reggie Evans. I mean, he will play 35 minutes and not shoot a field goal for the whole game. I never seen him do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Yinka Darre, where he'd have that crazy stat line where he didn't have an assist for like 4 years. And Nets tend to have crazy stat lines. And he will go a game where he'll have 0 points and 24 rebounds, which is insane.
You know, and for some reason, the Bulls don't really scare me. I mean, you know, you got Lou Aldang. I mean, and it's weird. Like, Nate Robinson will just explode
once
in a while. So he might
He's always had that in him.
He might be a character to keep an eye on in that series. But, you know, does Kirk Heinrich really, like, take your breath away? I don't know.
Yeah, Marco Bellinini. I mean, they got some guys, you know, that could score. I mean, you got Boozer, a veteran who averaged 16 points this year.
I mean,
you
don't think that, like, who is Joaquin Noah matching up against? Not Brook Lopez, right?
Not on the defensive end. I don't think he will. I think he's going to be banging down low with whoever's in there for Reggie Evans, probably. I think it's a waste to have him because he's such a good, you know, paint defender.
Yeah.
And he's such a good rebounder. I mean, if you don't put him on Reggie Evans will have 40 freaking rebounds. I mean, so I think, you know, that'll be an interesting matchup, though, rebounding-wise. Two of the better, possibly the two best rebounders in the league, you know, after Bergeron went out. Those are the two guys you want to see, and that's going to be it. So you're going to need Reggie Evans to get you some second chances on the offense and you know, kick the ball back out. But it's all going to come down to their top two scorers actually scoring, because you can't got to forget about Gerald Wallace being the Gerald Wallace of 3 years ago, because he just isn't anymore.
Yeah,
he is high energy. He will. I do like his hustle. I mean, he's a kind of, which is pretty cool for a guy who was an all-star in this league, kind of accepting the fact that he's not the type of guy he was before and just being this hustle guy at, you know, 10, 12 years into his career. I think it's pretty admirable, and I didn't know that about him before he came to Brooklyn. So I don't know. It'll be a very interesting series. Again, I mean, we're assuming that that's how it matches up, depending on how tonight's games go. I'm not going to pretend to speak like an expert on the Atlanta Hawks. I've maybe seen a handful of games of theirs at all this year, and most of them when they played the Nets. I just think that the Hawks are, no matter what cast of characters they are, they're the same Hawks that you don't mind. You know, they get to the playoffs every year, but you don't mind playing in the playoffs. So I would clearly rather have them up against the Hawks, but I don't think that's a slam dunk win for them either, you know. I mean, they still got Josh Smith. You know, they got some players over there that could do some things, you know. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. I mean, the 1-8 series is not much to break down. I mean, Milwaukee's got no chance. I can see them sneaking in a game, though. You know, they got some scorers there that could off.
Is everyone kind of worried about how many games that the Heat starters took off?
Yeah, I mean, there's that argument.
You don't think that has any kind of effect on chemistry or just conditioning or anything?
Think as big of as like football when you see those guys. I always am against that because you see the timing of an all go away when you take that kind of time off.
It's not on them. Those athletes.
Yeah.
They've
been planning for this the entire season, and they're just raring to go here. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to impact them that much. You know, they're going to be coming in at full strength. I could see Milwaukee sneaking in a game, just to make it interesting. But I mean, clearly they're gonna move on. You know, I think that the Pacers, no matter who they play, and if it shapes up to be the Hawks, I think that's the one. I really like that. He has officially a superstar. I mean, the guy was always above his play, really. seeing where they go from there. I don't know. A lot of people, it's a no-brainer that he would not play. He needs 70 points to win the scoring title.
Yeah.
My man needs to put up a 70 spot. I know a lot of people, the thing was, the common theme on the radio today was, well, would Michael Jordan, if he needed 70, would he ever sit? That doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
No.
Michael Jordan was a jerk. I mean, he was a fantastic basketball player, the best player that ever lived. He's a jerk.
There's more of a chance of Durant dropping his 50-40-90 membership to that exclusive club. You know, he's 50% from the field, 40 from three, 90 from the free throw line. So,
which is insane.
You know what? I'd rather take the night off to keep that intact than anything else.
Yeah, anybody that criticizes that is insane. I mean, even if it was – I mean, this is the same media that all they talk about is all these guys are me first, me first, me first.
Yeah.
This guy is saying, I want to be completely healthy. Why run out and risk an injury or anything? We're not playing for anything right now. You want me to go out there and try to put up 70?
In the long run, it didn't help him last year, and that's good, so we'll just change it up this year. We don't have to go
imagine being the opposing team, and I don't even know who they're playing, but imagine being the opposing team, and you know a guy's out there trying to drop 70.
Yeah.
You don't think he's going to get an extra elbow?
Yeah.
He's going to get an extra little hip in the paint? That's all you need is for him to go out trying to put up 70. I think that's an insane thing, and this was the same media. It'll bash all these guys for being me first. This guy does something good for his team, and Jordan would have never done that. Jordan would have never done that.
It all depends on how many players on that other team hate Melo.
Yeah, they might be.
Yeah,
they might be throwing him alley-oops.
There you go, KD.
Oh, yeah, it could be a team full of Brett Favre giving Strahan the title.
Yeah. Whoa, let's not go there.
Yeah, let's be honest. Let's call it like it is here, Nealers. But, you know, that whole Western Conference, man, I mean, you know, you look at the Lakers with Kobe going down, and I'll give Bill Simmons, the sports guy, credit. The day he got hurt, he was on ESPN Radio. He was on with Colin Cowherd, and he said he listed off how many minutes Kobe Bryant had played. And he was like, let me list you his last 9 games, 47 minutes, 48 minutes, 46 minutes. This is a 35-year-old guy.
Yeah.
So he's like, if they make it, they have nothing to take. They're not going to be that 8 seed everybody fears.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're doing to this guy. You know, I mean, I know that that's his personality. You got to ride me to the playoffs. But it was the day he got hurt, you know. Now he's out, you know, 6 to 9 months. He's going to be out till November. I mean, and he said next year might be his last year, all of that. So, I mean, there's a chance they could miss the playoffs altogether, right? And I think if Utah wins and they lose, Utah slides into that 8 seed. And I believe Utah played Memphis, who Memphis is a very good team. I think they're locked in at 3. So, you know, and then you've got the Lakers are playing Houston. So it could happen, I guess. I mean, you could Houston's a 7 seed that locked up. So, I don't know. Either way, I don't think either one of those teams is going to scare anybody in the playoffs. But after you get through that, dude, I mean, you could look at that, the Western Conference is about as wild. I mean, you look at Golden State's 6 seed. Golden State is one of the best teams in the East. They've been 2 seed. You know what I mean? You've got 4 or 5 series, the Clippers and that. I mean, the Clippers are a 4 seed. He's a team that rattled off 15 in a row at one point. They rattled off. You know, they're going to be against Memphis, who's just, you know, as gritty a team as there is. Ben in the West, I can remember. They play like an Eastern Conference team. It is going to be as exciting and wide open. I mean, you may list off 5 teams easily that you would not be shocked if they were represented in the Western Conference. You know, Oklahoma City, people have been, the reason I like Oklahoma City, from the moment they made that trade, they were like, can't possibly be as good as they were last year, losing a franchise player like Harden. You know, their sixth man, you look what they're losing. There's no way in the world you could replace that. And look what they got back, who they didn't replace, James Harden.
Hey, everybody, we're back. We have some technical difficulties here with NDB Media and Block Talk Radio. So we just went off. I thought maybe we got canceled like mid-show. We were sitting there breaking down the Western Conference in the NBA playoffs. And sure enough, we were logged off. We were breaking it down. I sang some Sweet Caroline in honor of our brothers up in Boston. So basically, you missed out on our Western Conference talk. You're gonna have to. Maybe we'll give it to you in some bonus time. I don't know, but we do have somebody on the line. We want to get to. I'm hoping he's still there. I don't know how this is gonna work here. We're calling in remotely, but we have a guy. Anybody that follows our site, I reposted the documentary. It was the first part one of two of this documentary that this filmmaker made. And he's been on the show before. He had done a film, I guess it was maybe 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, called Stacked, about a surfing competition on Long Island. And it was great, entered into a couple festivals and all. And we got Patty Boy on hold with us here. Pat Cummings is a filmmaker who he really has covered a lot of different things. It's more than just sports, but he did one for Vice magazine. So Vice.com brought him on to do a documentary about a guy, I believe it's Burt Barrykill, which I got to ask Pat if that's his real name, because that's a cool-ass name if that's his real name. But Burt Barrykill, and he's had some legal issues. He's a writer for Vice. Pat, are you with us, brother?
Yo, guys, you there?
Yeah, sorry about that little mix-up there. We were really breaking down the Western Conference, and then all of a sudden, we got the boop, 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 boop from Dog Walk Radio, and we were off the air. So I'm sorry about that, Patty.
Don't worry about it, buddy. No problem.
So let's get right into your documentary here. I mean, how did you get involved with the story, and how did you get hooked in with Vice and with Burt?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for covering my thing. It has nothing to do with sports, but I appreciate it. So Burt, I know Burt. Actually, here's your sports tie-in. Burt and I grew up playing hockey together in Connecticut. I've known him since I was a kid, and we kind of lost touch over the years. And he hit me up recently on Facebook, sending me all these articles that were hilarious. And then I realized that he was the writer of them, and they were articles for Vice magazine. So when we reconnected, we kind of hung out, and I said, like, dude, this could be a good idea for a film. So we just started shooting with him. Me and my buddy EJ, who you guys talked to, he collaborated on Stacked with me. And my other buddy, Rich Brown, who's another frequent collaborator, we all just got together, and we just started, like, kind of hanging out with Burt and filming his kind of crazy life and his story. And that was that. And we just kind of would meet with him every chance we got and kind of keep an update with him. And he was trying to do good, but he was not always succeeding with that. And he was going in and out of jail for the full time that we were shooting with him, all the while writing for Vice magazine, whether it was through the traditional way of typing something up on the computer and emailing it, or when he was locked up, he was actually handwriting his letters and sending them into Vice. So that's where we got with it. That's how we started with it. And then through the process of shooting with Vice, or shooting with Burt, we started it independently because he worked for Vice. We went there and we interviewed some of the people he works with there, and they were super cool and they wanted to get on board with it. And we went from there, and then we kind of collaborated towards the end. They handled most of the editing and all the posts and stuff like that. And then they have it up on their site, which is great for us because many, many eyes will be on it, way more so than if we did it independently. So it's been good.
Yeah, it's crazy because, I mean, I'm sure you know, and most of our listeners know, I mean, Vice now, everybody's kind of like our age group is like knows about Vice and Vice.com, but now they've got this series on HBO. I watched it this week where they got the craziness between India and Pakistan. I don't know if you've been following all that, but Vice is blowing up. I mean, that episode where they showed the hostilities between India and Pakistan, and I'm a poli-sci major, and I didn't realize it was that kind of a fever pitch over there. So it's pretty cool to get with an organization like Vice.com, no doubt.
Yeah, they've been really good. I mean, I've been following Vice for years since they were just a magazine that came out once a month for free. And in recent years, they've blown up as far as, like, video, and pretty much they have their hand in a little bit of everything. So it's been cool to be associated with them on this one.
All right, now, I got to ask you, so did you know, I actually watched it twice because I thought it was so awesome, but did you know he was going to be as honest with you going into it as he was? I mean, some of the stuff he said, you're like, bro, you're on parole. Like, I'm watching it, like, and it was so entertaining, but you're like, dude, just why are you saying these things about, like, you know, I'm not a drug addict, but I'm still going to do it, and talking about how you make booze in jail and that stuff. It was insane. I mean, did you know that going in that you're going to have that kind of access to, or even you being a filmmaker surprised at the kind of honesty that he gave you?
Yeah, I was surprised. The first day we went and shot with him, I was very surprised, and there's things that we had to actually cut out from that day that are even more surprising than what you see. But, yeah, I was really surprised. I mean,
I went into the whole thing with it. You know, as with any documentary, you don't know what the story is until it unfolds, but you have an idea of what you want it to be, what you think it might be. And it turned out different than I thought. And Brett's a great, he's a great guy, very smart guy in a lot of ways. But, you know, in some ways he's just counterintuitive to what you would do, what a normal person would do, quote unquote normal. But he was very open, and it was great for a camera. After the first, he's also a very good friend. So I didn't want to make something that was exploiting him at all. So after that first day, we took a break, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do and I wanted to continue with it or not. I wanted to tell, my hope was to tell a positive story because I thought his writing was really cool, and he was basically taking a negative, which was his time in prison, and turning into like some pretty good writing and comedy and pretty insightful stuff. But after our first day, you know, where certain things were going down, I kind of wanted to take a step back and talk to him as a friend and say, like, dude, if we're going to do this, I want it to be, I don't want to sit here and watch you destroy yourself. So we had some heart to hearts and we kind of went through it, and it was good. It was cool to reconnect with an old friend, on that level.
Hey, well, Patty, did we lose you, buddy?
You guys there?
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, we lost you for a minute. You said it's good to retouch with an old friend, and then we lost you.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm just saying, you know, there was some heaviness to it, and I wanted to make sure that I was being mindful of my friend's well-being as well as being a filmmaker, so kind of had to walk that line, but I think it worked out, and I'm just hoping that in the long run, you guys will see part two. It comes out on Monday, and I hope in the long run he'll turn out good, so to speak.
Yeah, what was interesting about it, and what was different than most documentaries, normally stories like that go two ways. It's one where it's this huge redemption, you know, he messed up, he wants to clean his life up, and then it's this redemption of him coming back up. Or it's the, you know, this guy has fallen the exact opposite way, and he's completely off the reservation, and he, you know, he turns into the guitar player from Red Hot Chili Peppers, and he's, you know, all messed up, and he's incoherent. And he, like, you know, he's like toes that line where even in the, you know, 17 minutes or whatever it was, that part one, and you watch it, and there's times when you're so, like, sympathetic to him, and you're like, you're exactly right. This guy's going back to jail for missing curfew or having a couple beers, and we all take that for granted. But then there's times when you're like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Like, why don't you just stay clean? And that's what makes it so unique. And my point is that it's just like, you know, I've never seen a story told that way, where as a viewer, you don't know which side to take. Because part of you wants to be on his side. You're like, I get his story, and he seems like a likable guy. And then at the same time, the other side of your brain is saying, what is this guy doing? Just don't do drugs for like 10 days. He's talking about, you know, it's been 100 hours. You're like, how about the 100 days, brother?
Yeah, I hear you. And that's why I thought it was interesting. I think he's a unique guy in a way of that. He is a smart guy. He is well-spoken. And you kind of walk that line with him where you're not sure if he's got his shit together and the system is just messing with him, or if he's completely going down a downward spiral. And it's a little bit of both. And it unfolds in an interesting way.
Yeah, I cannot wait. And you said the next volume comes out next week? Part two comes out when, next Monday?
I believe it's on Monday. Part two will come out, yeah. And it's a two-part series.
Check it out at Vice.com.
What's that?
And Vice.com is going to be the spot. It'll just be on the homepage there?
Yep, it should be on the homepage on Monday, Vice.com.
Yeah, we're going to, obviously, we're going to link it because we got a lot of people that checked it out and told us about it. It's one of the reasons we reached out to you, TV, and we're really thankful you were willing to come on the show because, you know, people were all about it, and as our show evolves, we're getting into a lot more, and Tony D gets a bigger role. We do a lot more non-sports related stuff. If you ever want to check out Tri-State Sports Guys, we tend to now lean towards a lot of music stuff and pop culture stuff, or, you know, local gossip stuff.
Hey,
it's going pretty good. Hold on, Tony's got something.
Since we've been talking, I've been like hitting on like, when I saw the link to the Vice website, I was confused. I'm like, this can't be the same person that I'm watching, that I'm actually reading these blogs, and I'm reading a couple right now. It's intriguing. Like, you gotta keep going back, and you want to keep reading what he has to say, because he's very well spoken. He is, you know, you should read his next writer. That's great. I mean, the guy, it's interesting to see the dynamic, how much different it is as opposed to what you're watching.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was just saying, in the first episode, we see him sign a book deal. Right? I mean, the guy calls up the publisher, whoever that is, or some sort of agent books him for a book deal. And so, you know, he's like pretty, the guy is like so all about Bert. Like, you know, he was so excited to have him on board. And Bert seemed happy, but he was just kind of like laid back about it. I mean, that's another aspect of that, you know, watching the documentary, you're like, man, this guy should be like doing cartwheels. And he was happy, but he was just like, yeah, it's pretty crazy, right? And you're like, yeah, you just got a book deal. There's people that went to school for, you know, writing. Like my co-host here, who's rubbing two sticks together trying to get a book deal, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other interesting thing about Bert. He's very even keeled when it comes to bad news and good news. But, yeah, I hear you. I mean, he was really excited about that, as we all were, and that was actually a really cool thing that literally happened before our eyes, where that guy hit Bert up on Twitter as he was reading, like, his articles or something like that, hit him up, and he's like, let's do a book deal, and kind of thought it was fake or whatever, and we called the guy, or Bert called the guy, and he was totally for real, and the dude's actually a legit guy that owns his own publishing company, and a dude who was big in the music scene in the 90s, started Delicious Vinyl and all this other stuff. So it was a very legit thing that happened, like, right before our eyes, and it was crazy. And Bert was psyched, but, yeah, I hear you. He's a little bit kind of, you know, he keeps his emotions under wraps, that's for sure.
And so when was that being filmed? I mean, when did that go down? Was that, like, fall of last year? Was that very recently? When was that filmed, when he got that call?
Well, actually, to be honest with you, Mike, we're purposely being a little vague on timing of things.
Gotcha.
Because some things, as you saw, some things are a little on the edge as far as his parole and stuff like that. So I don't want to speak too specifically about exactly when things were.
That's a good call. I hear you saying, we're both laughing here. It is true. Because you're looking at him and you're like, hey, well, stop saying this. Like, people are going to see this. This is not like, you know. It's like, you know, when you see these kids, like, incriminate themselves on Twitter or something, you're like, oh, you're getting filmed. Stop talking. So I completely agree with you on that fact. Keep it on the wraps. It could have been 1988. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly, Mike. Exactly.
Well, Patty, we want to, look, I'm so excited for you because this is a really cool thing. And obviously you got a good platform with Vice.com. And, yeah, I'm all on board. And I can't wait till the next one comes out. We'll obviously link to our website and to our Facebook page and everything, and anything we could do to promote it. Obviously, you always can come on here and talk, because this is a really cool thing, and you know, I'm glad you know, you're such a big part of it.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. I also just want to make sure everyone knows it was a collaboration with multiple people, EJ, Rich, a bunch of people at Vice, but I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, Patty. That's Pat Cummings. And you know, we'll get his collaborators on when we link it there, obviously, as well, because, you know, it's the same team that put together the Stacked documentary, which is fantastic, and they actually were able to come on with Pat the first time they came on. So, you know, we've got to give them some props, too. But it's cool to see Pat. I mean, Pat's a guy I've known since I'm 10 years old, and you see him in these documentaries on Vice.com. It's, like, surreal, you know what I mean? It's, like, a super good friend of mine. He's in my wedding party, and he's there on Vice.com. It's, like, it is a little surreal to see him on there. Well, I wish them all the best. I mean, it couldn't be a cooler thing. Now, Neil, you didn't check it out yet, but you will.
Yeah. It's on my to-do list.
It's on your to-do list.
The writing is, I think, great. I mean, I'm not a writer. Neil knows this stuff. I'm just, you know, I'm a wannabe barstooler, blogger, loser. But this writing,
good.
It's just not what you see in the video.
Yeah.
Translate.
Yeah. Yeah, and he didn't say, he said he grew up in Connecticut. I don't know what town. I should have asked Pat what town he grew up in. He said he went to, like, elite private schools and all that. So I don't know where he went, where he went to school, but I just realized, what the kind of opportunity we just missed. Is Pat still on? Check that out, because, I mean, we got a guy. See if he's still on. Pat, are you still with us by any chance, brother? Because I want to ask him. He could be our segue into Blockout, being, like, a legitimate show.
Yeah.
We get Pat to do our pilot.
Yeah.
From the producer of Bert Barrichello's documentary. I mean, that's an in.
That's like having Spielberg on board. It's like having Tommy Hanks.
Yeah, and I you know how like Sheed says, ball don't lie? Neil don't lie. I'll be honest as hell with Patty on camera.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, I know. I think that'd be great. We need to get him to follow you around in your comedy tour. I mean, I don't know why he's not there videotaping. He's all there.
Yeah. Jersey Shore, especially. That's where the best stuff comes.
That's
out.
Where the rubber hits the road. There, yeah. Jersey Shore. Where Neil, you know, and we're off air. We're talking about our I guess it's our 11th.
It's like alumni weekend.
So it'd be our 11th reunion there. But everybody goes down. There's a lot of people that still go down to alumni week. I've never been to one. I don't think. Maybe I went to the first one, and to play in the the alumni game. But you're down there. I mean, you're going to go down there on like a mission.
Yeah, I
couldn't even imagine. I'd be in bed by 10 o'clock.
No, I have supplements and certain aids that help me along the way.
Right.
But yeah, I like to hang with the kids.
Like, leave me alone. I mean,
loathing.
I fear loathing with Baltimore.
I try to keep up because they're always like, "What do you got, Grandpa?" And I'm like, check this out.
I have a slip and slide in my backpack. Boom! Let's slip and slide, cross about a mile.
Yeah. Jumping off roofs.
Yeah.
I have a golden god.
Yeah.
I want to see all that.
Well, he could be our guy.
Yeah.
Bring it. I got to send him a script. I'm telling you, banging away. I tried the pilot, episode one there. And I'll tell you, I got episode two. Before we transition, I'm going to tell you my episode two. Episode two, eyeballs open. Mm. You're on a couch.
Yeah.
Well, it could be worse. You got all your clothes on. It could be worse, you know. In the background, you just hear just like intensity going on. And you realize
there's a P90X. Video on some TV somewhere in the room I'm in.
Right, yeah.
Kind of peer over the back of the couch, and there's just some guy, shirt off, spandex shorts, just rocking out P90X.
Ooh.
You're like, oh boy,
yeah.
What did I get into?
The insanity workout. And now you can't get up because you want to interrupt us. You have to sit and like sit through his workout. So now you're sitting there pretending you're sleeping, right? You wake up, you realize, oh, this is some guy that you went to high school with. You used to be a fat kid. Now he's like super into weights and stuff, and really into it, and you had agreed in your drunken stupor the night before to help him move.
Oh.
And now he's like, and he just like, we only got the truck for 12 hours. We got to do it all in one day. And you're like, I just need a cup of coffee. Like, I don't drink coffee. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like drinking some sort of protein shake. And you're like, ugh. And you have to sit there and move. And this guy's intense. So he's like pushing you.
Yeah.
We're moving like washing machines.
You're like cramping up.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to say, like, this was a fat kid
in
high school. And you're wondering, how did I get into this? So the whole thing is
fireballs, probably.
Yeah. And I think that's episode two. I think we're really laying out the foundation for a fantastic show. Tony, are you with us on Blackout?
I mean, think about that. Think about, you all know the fat kid now that is a super into shape, cycling or something, or kettleball or something.
I do.
P90X Jimmy over here is like, that's your guy. And you're like, good boy. And you're just sitting there in your flannel shirt from the night before. Smelling like fireball.
Yeah, I'm just trying to reduce the size of my head because.
And you're just trying to think of a way out, and you don't have a ride. Like he gave you a ride. You're in a different like you live in Hoboken, and you're like in
Brooklyn,
Ronkonkoma, and you're like, oh boy, I got a long way home.
Yeah,
I'm not thumbing at home.
No, that's not happening. But I always say I gotta get to the gym. I work out for a month.
That just ends with you just drenched in sweat. It's like, oh, God.
I'm a changed man. And then I have a girl I've never seen since high school be like, you want to go to the bar? I'm like, here we go.
Yeah.
And that's it. Tune in next week. TBC.
I'm telling you, I'm coming up with these scripts. I want to just really hash them out. But that's why we need Patty Cummings involved. This guy knows how to make a film.
Yeah. He knows how to portray me in a light that does not.
Because there's going to be. Well, are we supposed to be sympathetic here, to you, or do we hate you?
Well, I'm kind of like an anti-hero, I'm kind of like the Soprano, Tony Soprano, like, you want to love me, but I keep doing these dastardly beatings.
Yeah, like, stop it, just one Friday night, Neil.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Just red box.
All right.
Yeah.
But, YOLO, I just don't know.
Red box. YOLO, who knows? All right, what do we have to get into? Because all of our show prep is on my phone, and we're now talking on my phone. I think our next thing we were going to talk about was the Masters. And so let's chat a little bit about the Masters. Maybe we're getting back on live. I don't know. We're trying to get off the phone and get us live. If we can do that, we might have a little small delay here.
We're live.
We're live to all the folks out there listening to us. We've had a great show. I wish you had heard the rendition of Sweet Caroline, but that'll be lost into the internet.
On the DVD.
Yeah, it comes on the internet.
So do I have to turn it off here? Let's turn on some music. We're gonna take a quick break. Give us some Liquid Swords. All right. We're gonna give you a little Liquid Swords to break up the show a little bit. We've got 35 minutes left. We're gonna break down the Masters. We got Duty Serious. We got a lot of stuff. All right.
My father was famous. He was the greatest samurai in the empire. And he was the shogun's decapitator. He cut off the heads of 131 lords. It was a bad time for the empire. The shogun just stayed inside his castle, and he never came out. People said his brain was infected by devils. My father would come home. He would forget about the killings. He wasn't scared of the shogun, but the shogun was scared of him. Maybe that was the problem. Then, one night, the shogun sent his ninja spies to our house. They were supposed to kill my father, but they didn't.
Back to the source.
And when the MCs came, hey, we are back. It's the Tri-State Sports Guys. We are back online. We're off the phone. You got a little jizza genius.
I can't believe we're able to get her on the show. That is great.
Listen, that's the kind of connections we have. We were able to get Pat Cummings and whoever this little boy was from Liquid Swords. And we are back, and I'm excited.
That's the voice of Bart Simpson.
Now, I will tell you, the first time we played that, when we first joined NDB Media and we realized we could have intros and stuff like that, I said, next week we're going to start with this. And it was JT was still on board. God bless his soul, wherever he is.
He's in the Caribbean, drunk on rum.
He is. He's just out there trying to get a compass that goes
hitting
to where
we're made.
And Tony D, when that happened, they're both just looking at me like, what is this? I don't think either one of them. I don't think O is a Wu-Tang fan. And JT's like 18. So Wu-Tang to him is like, it might as well be a hip-hop.
He thought it was like Capri Sun or something, like a drink.
Yeah, he had no idea who the Wu-Tang Clan was. So it put me back. I felt old, and I felt like a loser. So I'm glad that you guys were on board with it. I'm sure the listeners at home.
We were listening to some DMX circa 99.
Oh,
right?
DMX has been on our show.
Yeah.
Don't forget, he opened our show one time singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Welcome, rang in the holidays.
He sure did. He didn't even need the sheet. He didn't need the lyrics. But let's get into the Masters. Now, we didn't really – we were going to talk about it last week. We got cut off. Again, we thought we had gotten eliminated from NDB Media.
From Earth.
We are just on the – we're doing very well ratings-wise. So everyone that listens and downloads the show, I thank you because we get the reports and we're doing very well, and I'm excited about that. And we passed the 500 likes threshold on Facebook, which is a big deal.
Yeah. Congratulations to what's-his-face from what's-his-town.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
500 fans. Your shirt and your trophy is on the way.
Yeah, he's a big Broga Jack fan. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'll tell you this. There's a show I listen to on ESPN Radio out of Hartford. Now, granted, it's Hartford. It's not a huge major city. But I like them on Facebook. They only have 602 likes. We're 100 behind an ESPN Radio show. We're on our way.
Everyone just needs to tell, like, half a friend. And we're
there. If everyone there tells half a friend, and they tell half a friend, it really will expand, and we will be bigger than life.
Bigger than Hartford.
Yeah, bigger than Hartford. I'll tell you, Hartford, probably living in Hartford proper, 18 people.
And we got less stabbings, I'll tell you that much.
I tell you that right now. We're not on gangland.
We average, like, 0.5 a show, which is, like, not bad.
Stop those locos or whatever that gangland was out of Hartford. But, all right, let's get back to the Masters.
good transition. Hartford to the Masters.
Yep.
So the Masters, a tradition like no other.
Like no other. Friends.
Friends. Hello, friends. So it was obviously a very exciting Masters to follow. Now, I don't watch golf at all. I play it a little bit, but I'm not super into it. But I watch. But I it's something I'll follow. It's interesting to me who's in and who's out. And obviously, there's a couple cool storylines. We prefaced it a little bit last week with Tiger Woods. The odds-on favorite to win. There was the 14-year-old kid.
There were a lot of people pulling for Tiger this time around. A
lot of people. He was the redemption story. He was the Berry Kill, if you will, of the 2013 Masters.
The other guy was an idiot. Hold on, I gotta look his name up.
Holcomb, the other guy.
Old Spanish guy.
Angel Cabrera?
Some of the stupidest shots that you should take when you're in the lead of the Masters. He's trying to wrap balls around.
He looked like Tin Cup. He was out there. It looked like he was just like had a six pack of beer.
He didn't care. He was just.
He was laughing. He was having a good old time.
Easy. Yeah. I mean, you're in the lead. Play it safe.
And they were talking about it. Like that's what makes him so good. He never. This pressure doesn't get to him. I'm like, well, maybe the pressure. Not. Maybe the pressure should get to him.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Because you
know where you're at,
idiot.
Brother.
Yeah. You're playing with ease. You're everything smooth, and you're trying to. Wrap balls around a tree. Like, come on.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Now.
What the hell?
Tony's pissed. He's really angry at Angel.
He spent a lot of time and effort into watching this shit.
And you became an Angel Cabrera fan. It was a roller coaster of emotions.
And then
he's
taking shots from him, like, bro, you're up a stroke. Like
he thought he had a good look at it.
Oh no, nobody had a good look.
You would think up, dude. So, but they had the 14-year-old kid and the controversy with the scoring there in the second round. He got penalized a stroke for slow play. His poor kid. He's 14 years old.
What does that mean? Slow play.
You get warned that you have a certain amount of time per hole. I don't know what it is. I really don't know many of the rules. There's so many rules because the rule that Tiger broke was rule 37.8 or whatever it was.
And I feel like
it's golf. As long as you just hit the ball in the hole.
Yeah, and I feel like that this Masters proved that they need to take a real close, hard look at the rules of golf.
Yeah, good luck. They're not gonna do it in
baseball.
Yeah, but
I mean, you think
they're not gonna do it in golf.
I know it's an old sport, and you got a lot of traditionalists. But like, I feel like now that they're taking women at Augusta, right?
That's
a big step.
Yeah, we got a black president.
I mean, I'm still single, but the thing that's going on, there's a lot of changes in the air, and I feel like that this should be the boiling point. You know,
I agree with you. And the bigger than the fact that the rules are crazy.
Like, let's get into modern day golf.
Yeah.
Tennis is kind of getting along there.
Think about, like, golf when you think about some of the bigger stories. Obviously, the stories we just talked about. Remember the guy who couldn't walk? He had some sort of birth problem, some sort of health problem, and he couldn't walk. Casey something or other, and he needed a golf cart. And there were people that were like, that's unfair. This guy can't take a cart. And you're like, dude, the guy cannot walk.
Yeah.
He only has like a couple months to live. Like he had like, eventually he was going to be in a wheelchair for life. This guy qualified for tournaments.
Can't play in a wheelchair.
he's just laying
on the ground.
And he's still he's 3 under for the tournament. And you're like, that's part of what frustrates me about golf is the whole tradition of it all.
I saw Happy Gilmore and I was like, this is the future of golf.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Although, if you'd watch the documentary, Burt Barrykill does a Happy Gilmore in one of the scenes. Yeah. That's where he goes to release. He's at some driving range somewhere. We have Happy Gilmore-ing it out. But the problem I have with the whole Tiger Woods thing, there's a lot of problems with what happened with Tiger Woods, and everybody knows the story. I don't have to rehash the whole thing. But basically, he hits the ball, hits the pin, goes back into the water. He has three options. He could drop in the drop zone, which he didn't like. He could drop, in the direct line of where it went out, went into the hazard.
Yeah.
Or he could drop from the exact same spot that he hit from. He wound up choosing the third option, but putting his ball 2 yards behind where he had hit.
Yeah.
At the time, nobody said anything. Finished the round.
Like, my roommate brought that up a good point. Don't they have a judge or someone right there?
Yeah, they have rules officials at every hole.
Yeah.
And the caddy had never moved. Yeah. No, as I'm saying, they follow the golfers around. So they're right there. And they didn't pick it up. They have a hotline, which apparently is like a big thing. Every golf fan that I talk to, they're like, yeah, that's a big deal. You're watching this on TV.
There's a hotline on
No, but golf fans know it.
They just know it?
Yeah, it's like our fans knowing the TSG calling, the 347, whatever number.
Whatever. _7.
_. But, And they called in, and they just got, I guess, flooded with calls. Like, that's cheating.
Flooded with calls that are just the most racist people in the world.
Imagine.
Definitely, like, KKK up in that hotline.
Spending your afternoon watching the Masters with your phone in hand.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm the fun police. You're just like,
yeah.
You know, like the guy, I mean, it reminds me of, and I'm not going to get into the whole, like, political aspect, but it reminds me of the guy who killed Trayvon Martin, who was just like, I'm the Mr. Policeman.
Yeah.
And I never made it because I'm fat and I can't be a policeman, but I'm going to be the neighborhood watch. Like, this guy's like, I'm not a good golfer and I can't be a real official, but I'm going to really know a lot about golf.
Yeah, like a lot. Mr. Citizen Arrest guy.
Imagine being the guy. Imagine, like, telling your wife. I was the one that called. You'd be like, well, get the hell out of my house. My wife, if I told my wife I was watching the Masters in the afternoon and I called in and I was the reason why Tiger Woods got a 2-stroke penalty.
Like, I'm keeping the kid. Get out of here.
Get out of here. You know what? I'm sleeping with the milkman. And we don't even have a milkman. How about that? So you're like,
I mean,
come
he's
on.
Got milk, but...
I mean, come on, dude. So that's how these golf, and there's this huge tradition, like, you know, unlike any other. And all
it
these,
is unlike any other.
And yet you have the ability to review shots based on a phone call from a guy, fat guy, watching on his couch at home.
Yeah.
I assume the guy's fat. Can we just, I don't like to make assumptions. That guy wasn't thin or good looking.
Or he's just really thin.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where he doesn't eat anything.
I think of him as being, and you mentioned Happy Gilmore. I'm going to go back to Billy Madison. I feel like he's like the Steve Buscemi character.
Yeah.
Like, with the kill list. He's got Tiger Woods. Like, whose lives can I ruin? Tiger
like,
Woods. He
crossed
it up.
I set him up with that affair.
Yeah.
Cost him 350 large, and then.
I was a waiter at Denny's, and he didn't hook up with me.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You know, I was at Applebee's. He didn't hook up with me.
Yeah.
So he just wanted his opportunity, and. I mean, the rule was right. The guy, and he incriminated himself in his post-round interview.
Yeah.
Where he said, yeah, I put it back 2 yards. I thought it was like a, you know, better shot, and I could take the same swing and all that. Incriminated himself, 2 strokes. And then there was the whole, should he be kicked out of the tournament? Because he essentially signed an improper card. But they did change that rule. Because I think it was Patrick Harrington had gotten kicked out of an event for signing an improper card after like a rule change he didn't know about.
Yeah.
And that's what it would have been. So I don't disagree with that, but then there's a conspiracy theory that's only because of Tiger Woods and the sponsors were fresh, you know, PGA and the television network were saying we need him in the fight, you know, we can't have him out on the weekend and all this stuff. And I mean, he shouldn't have been kicked out of the tournament. But
I mean, he should have kicked that 14-year-old out of the tournament for sure. Who are you? You overachieving.
Yeah.
Little bang.
Think about when you were 14. Talents you had. They were not thrown up under par rounds.
I mean, this is not going to make it to air, but you can bleep it out afterwards.
But
I had the ability to swing my package.
Yeah.
My care package.
Yeah.
And make a clapping noise.
Okay.
So you don't with the
this is going to make it into the documentary.
But I can make a clapping noise.
Yeah.
By swinging back and forth and clapping and hitting against the tank.
Okay, good.
This is on air.
Yeah, this is on air. This is
yeah.
This is our show.
Yeah.
We have a talk show.
And now I have severe problems down there, I think.
Yeah, you should.
But not like severe. It's like,
going to be on air.
We did. He don't know what's going on. Neil don't know what's down. It was a shot of fireball we took to start the show.
Threw one more off.
Now.
You need another one.
But I'm saying,
Neil.
That's what I was doing when I was 14. I'm keeping it on track.
Okay. You tied back in. I appreciate it.
Where were you doing? What were you doing at 14?
Just
guy?
Watching the Mets.
It wasn't hurting my balls.
No, I was not. I was really...
It didn't hurt at the time, but I feel like it definitely caught up with me.
I was telling girls I was going to be the center fielder for the Mets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it worked out. Yeah. I have a podcast.
Yeah.
Boom. There you go. I'm going to a Met game. I'm sitting in the upper deck this weekend. I think that counts.
Is Ant Giggs going to that?
Ant Giggs is going. Anthony from Norwalk has been...
Shit show.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time this weekend. I'm very excited. But maybe I'll do my trick.
I'm going to wear a Mets shirt, I think, this weekend.
You have to. You're in the 7-line army, dude. The 7-line. I think we're going to get some good inroads here with the 7-line because they got a big following. Maybe we'll get the guy on the show, the guy who owns it. I mean, he's got like 20,000 Twitter followers.
We're there.
Fake. Yeah, he bought them. Bought him. I'm going to ask him flat out. But
really, half of Bieber's followers are fake. You read that?
No.
Believers? There's no such thing as a fake believer. All right.
Oh, boy.
Get that straight right now.
All right.
So, Belieber with a B.
We were talking about the Masters. Now, my last question, we don't have to break down the Masters. We know what happened. It was a great, like, if you're a golf fan, it was exciting, the playoffs, the guy birdied to win it and all that. But all of the excitement that surrounded this Masters, how much of it did you watch? Even with all of it. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better storyline, better excitement, better reason to watch. How much did you watch? Total minutes. Now, we know Tony watched all day Sunday because he was all over Angel Cabrera.
I woke up at 12:30 to a text from my roommate. Get your...
From the other room? Like, from your common room?
Yeah. Get up. It's a beautiful, gorgeous day. There are smoke shows out and about. We need to find a bar with outdoor seating. All right, you know, I kind of stayed up a little bit too late the night before.
Well, it was a good SNL.
It was a great, no, Louis C.K. on HBO. Did you watch
that? Oh, I watched it. I did watch it. That was on a Friday night.
I watched it four times in a row after that. Yeah. So,
I got to download it. Was it good?
Yeah, it was good.
Good, yeah.
Really?
Very good. It's always, he's the best. He's the best there is.
Yeah.
And it's not even a close second right now. But go ahead. So,
oh, well, okay, thanks. Thanks, Mike.
You're still second. You're just not close to Louis C.K.
So, stayed up late the night before, 12:30, wake up to the text. He's like, we got to go to the bar with outside seating. We got to look at all the pretty girls. It's nice out. We get outside and we're like, oh, well, it's kind of a deceiving nice.
Yeah.
It's still a little bit of a breeze. I don't know if it's that great. We didn't get outdoor seating. We had a horrible seat at the bar.
Yeah.
Like, we could see the outdoor seating, but we're inside in the shade.
So you just went to a bar, basically.
We went to a bar, and then guess where I'm situated? I'm looking at... These are two TVs I got.
Yeah.
That I can see. That I can watch.
Yeah.
Women's college bowling.
Yeah.
Nebraska-Purdue was a hell of a game.
The Boilermakers got a good team this year.
They had dudes,
this is their year.
They had dudes with painted faces in the seats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boilermakers. Yeah. That's
Boilermakers.
Big, dude.
Yeah. And then cheerleading championships. Those were the two things I was
two
watching.
Options you had, okay.
And I had to, like, keep doing this to see what Tiger was doing, so, yeah, I didn't catch much of the freaking Masters.
I didn't watch any of it.
You're breaking it down like you did.
No, I didn't watch any of it. I feel like I broke it down. I didn't watch a minute of the Masters. I did watch a little bit. It was on in the background on Saturday.
Do people feel bamboozled right now?
Yeah.
I feel like our whole fan base is like, you know what? This is what I tune in for, and they're just putting the sheet over my head.
I didn't watch any of it. I like golf. I maybe play two or three rounds a year. A, it's expensive.
Yeah.
Well, B, I don't have any clubs. I always have to borrow clubs. And C, it's like your whole day. Like, if I have a day where I don't have to do anything, like, you know, I got wife and kids and different things, I'd rather do a lot more fun than play golf. I like playing, like, those tournaments where it's, like, best ball and you're just, like, drinking beers and you could hit a ball and if it's good, like, oh, I'll use mine.
Like, if I could have a house on, like, right off the 18th green of Augusta, I'd watch golf.
Yeah. I've been to the GHO, the Greater Hartford Open, but I'm not going to...
Well, that's not a... I mean, there's no comparison.
Yeah, I think
GHO.
GHO in Cromwell.
The GO?
The TPC River Highlands. The GO. So I didn't watch it. So I'm just saying, you know, there are golf fans, and there were people calling in the Francesca show last week about how golf is boring, and he was yelling at them and this and that. You don't understand. If you don't think it's exciting, you don't understand it. So people don't like it, dude. I mean, look, I know a lot of people that couldn't get enough of it that would like, I'm watching it. I don't care if it's nice out. I was outside.
Have you been to Augusta? That's what I hear.
People, you know, looking down at other people because it's nice outside and they're home watching TV. I don't see a problem with that.
I'm not saying I don't. I'm looking down on anybody, dude. I'm just saying I don't choose. Like, I'm not looking down on anybody.
Look down your nose.
It's hot. It's not cold. You have to be outside. I don't agree with that.
It wasn't even that nice on Sunday. I'm just outside.
I was outside. It was cold.
I was building a castle, actually, which you guys see in the backyard.
Yeah,
the moat. Well, I know. You saw the castle. I actually had my first scrimmage in baseball and hardball. We scrimmaged an 18-and-over team. My team was a 27-and-over league, but competitive. All the guys played college ball, a couple minor leaguers on our team. We played this 18-over team. They were so good. This lefty that started for them, he's probably throwing 84-85. If you were to ask me, I would say that guy's throwing 110 miles an hour.
It's been a while since I've seen an 84.
I haven't seen swings in before the season.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, dude, come on, dude. I played a John Thompson. I could just roll out of bed and hit. Dude, was throwing gas. I was just like, my God. I was like 14-2. It could have been worse. First inning, you go down 1-2-3. They come up. Base hit. Double. Home run. Double. It was before we got an out.
Yeah.
And earlier, I just called the dogs off. And so, but
I mean, if you need me,
I could fly you up. Fly you up.
I just need about like 10 cortisone shots. And I'm good.
And you're in there just throwing, yeah. Just pumping the strike out.
Pellegrino.
He's not on my team. Oh, he's not on my team. He's on another team.
And
he's never been on my team. He's on our rival team. He's on the Monroe team with Pete Tucci and all. But so that's how I started my day. Came home. Kind of just. That one moment, I was like, I wonder what's going on in the Masters. It is not a major sport, and we debate about hockey, which the debate's over, it's not a major sport. Golf is a major thing because you listen to talk radio, you go on Facebook, or anything like that. I judge the popularity of something on Facebook and Twitter at this point. And your Facebook and Twitter is flooded with stuff about the Masters. I mean, there was a huge hockey game. It was a huge hockey game Saturday night. Rangers,
yeah.
It was big for, but you didn't hear anything about that on Facebook or Twitter.
Which
nobody cared. That's how I showed popularity or something. That's why it's still everybody craps on baseball. It's still a baseball country.
Yeah.
When is football season? When football season overlaps, but the biggest basketball is. I mean, it's basketball playoff time, and still right now people want to talk about baseball. Most generic sports thing. So that's my thought on the Masters. How do we break that down? Pretty good?
I mean, I don't know if I nailed it, but yeah, I crushed it.
Crushed it. You want to do some days?
Yeah.
Can I just, we'll do it before we get in the days. You get your days set up.
Everyone. This is Tri-State Sports Guys, and we're back. Tony's going to edit this up, so when you're listening to this on your download, you're going to be like, oh, it's very seamless. You don't understand the issues we're having. And we got to get on the horn with the head of Blog Talk Radio because we're kind of a big deal on Blog Talk Radio. We're a research show. We got to get on the horn with NDB Media. We sit here, put together a nice storyboard for our show. We line up some good guests. And what are we doing here? I mean, it's like I'm playing cards with my sister's kids, for Christ's sake. What are we doing?
Who is there? They are angels, by the way. Don't do angels.
Let's not do that. But, why don't we jump right in at this point, because we're done talking about the Masters. We did talk quickly about the Harvey Stratford thing, must-watch TV. Hopefully it's Friday night, barring any unseen changes to the rotation due to the Mets snow out today. But let's talk about some Dude, Are You Serious? You know, I'm going to hand the mic over to you, a.k.a. my iPhone, and I'm going to just let you break down some. This is going to be like the Dude, Are You Serious? To be all Dude, Are You Serious?
That will end all Dude, Are You Serious?
It's going to be
like, whoa.
Yeah. Somebody's going to discover you tonight. Go ahead.
Okay, so when I was 14.
No, I just talked about that. I'm going to have to edit that out, too, so nobody needs to hear that horrible story.
I'm just trying to tell you a little bit about myself so you get a better understanding of who I am.
Your mom listens to this show.
And my mom loves it.
No, she doesn't like that part. Mrs. Lynn, that's not me, that's your son.
That's just a young man discovering who he is.
Yeah, but that's...
You never had any bad habits?
Not that, no. I don't
know, I never did.
All right,
well, at least you weren't on a high school baseball team that lost 65-0 in a 3-inning game.
I was not on that. I was not losing it. That's a wiffle ball game. How did this possibly happen?
It happened in Ohio, which, you know, I thought, like, people in Ohio actually knew how to play sports, but apparently not.
No, those guys are intense about sports.
What's even better about this is that one...
Hello? Yeah, we're on.
Hey, we're back, Neil. Now, what was going on again in Ohio? Craziness out in Ohio.
What?
Go ahead. So there was a 65-0 ball game. Break it down for us.
A high school baseball team lost 65-0 in a 3-inning game. One of the high school's great high school name, Licking Heights High School.
This is from The Onion, dude.
No.
You're reading stuff from The Onion? I fucking quit.
It's not The Onion.
Drawing F-bombs. No. FCC.
So Licking Heights scored 16 runs in the first, 18 in the second, 31 in the third.
Yeah. That's a rally.
I mean, that's like, yeah. Like,
but what could have happened? There must have been
48 hits, 13 walks, 11 hit batters against the Harvest Prep team.
That's impossible.
Composed mostly of freshmen and sophomores. Ugh. It took 3 hours. Took more than 3 hours. Three innings. Took more than 3 hours.
Now, we have talked about this crazy rules in Connecticut.
It was finally called because of darkness. It wasn't even called because
it's not an official game.
Yeah, you got to continue
replay
that.
We talk about this crazy football rules in Connecticut. I think we've talked about it with you here. In Connecticut, if you win by 50 or more, the coach gets suspended for a game. Have you heard about this or do you not know about this?
No, but I want to hear it.
It's a new rule implemented maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It's a blowout rule. It's like a mercy rule. But the game doesn't end. But if a team wins by over 50 points or more, the coach from that winning team gets suspended the next week. And so, to me, it's even more embarrassing. So you now have your JV players in
there.
Wait,
if you win by 50-plus, you get suspended.
The winning coach gets suspended the next week for that week's game. And so what you wind up happening is, I mean, guys will run down to the 1 yard line, and just fall down or whatever, which I think is
or
more embarrassing.
Fumble out of bounds, or
I think it's more embarrassing.
Yeah,
which is silly because you know how football games go in high school. I mean, that's when JV guys get some burn or the senior. I mean, kids didn't get cut from my high school team. Maybe they got cut from your team. You basically got on the roster. You just would just not play.
But how does it get to this point? Like
I don't
after
know.
That first inning when there's 16 runs.
Look, I've been on a team that scored.
You've
16.
Been on a team where 16 runs scored by one team in one inning.
Softball.
Rock and jock softball.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Me and Dan Cortez.
I've definitely been on like 10 run innings, maybe 16. I don't know. But to follow that up with an 18 run inning and then
and
come
then
out
you
the
continue
third.
To play the third.
Yeah, no. But that's what I'm saying. Maybe I'm on the wrong. I think that the rule in Connecticut's insane. But maybe I'm wrong, because if this is what could possibly happen, then yeah.
I mean, the
coach of the team should have just said swing at 3 pitches and get out of here at that point.
But there's got to be a trend here. This is not a one-off thing, right? If you know that this team is composed of mostly freshmen and sophomores, and there's got to be – it's not like, oh, they won their last game by two. Like they're probably getting trounced every game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless they're like Kentucky basketball,
yeah.
You know, they're not going to win too many games. And so why even schedule that game?
Yeah, no, it's a bad job by everyone involved. It's a bad job by the losing team. It's a bad job by the winning team. It's a bad job by the athletic director of that conference, the dean of students, because that's a prep school. I mean, you imagine being a parent dropping like 20 G's to send your kid to some school.
And that's what I'm saying.
And they lose
too.
And they lose 65 to nothing. Little Johnny's coming home crying.
But maybe this is what it takes for that team to come together and
I want to follow them. I'm going to do a Google alert. What is it, Licking Heights?
Licking Heights.
That's the losing team?
I want to follow the winning team.
The other one was Harvest Prep. I'm going to do a
Harvest Prep. Google that.
I'm going to do a Google alert. I want to follow.
Like 2 years from now,
they've got a guy. Some freshman on that team, that's the drive he needs. He's in a cage right now.
He's a kid from Liquid Swords. I remember it was 28-0 in the second.
That was the night.
That was
everything
the day.
Changed.
It was called because of darkness. Then the darkness washed over me.
The darkness washed over the dude.
The darkness.
All right, what else you got? Ooh, this guy doesn't look it.
You know, this is not on my schedule, on my set, but there is now the world's first pure milk vodka. And I thought the dude would appreciate that.
That is Caucasian.
Cut a couple steps out of
it. That's it. You just pour that Gary in there with a little topper off a little Kahlua. That can't be true though.
Yeah, it's
true. Called Black Cow.
You just let milk sit enough and it'll turn into vodka?
No. We got to move on. We can't talk about that. We can't. I'll forward you the link. And in other news, a soccer coach steals a player's credit card to buy 36 bottles of Jaeger.
First of all, now everybody's taking Jaeger shots. Have you ever bought a bottle of Jaeger? I have a bar in my house. I don't have Jaeger.
Oh, a bottle of Jaeger? No, I've never bought a bottle.
Like, just like going to the liquor store. Like, I just need Jaeger in the house. Like,
to have on hand.
Jaeger is
to entertain guests.
Jaeger is something like if you're having a party. Like, it's such a social thing. that it's not like you're just drinking Jaeger. You're not making it with some other...
We all know someone who has bought a bottle of Jaeger and they almost didn't live.
Yeah, we know that guy. Except this guy coaches soccer.
Yeah.
So what is he, a college coach?
He played 9 years for Croatia's most popular team.
This was not in America?
Obviously not, dude.
Okay.
There's some European stuff going on right here.
Yeah,
there's
okay.
No way that's happening.
So maybe
in
Jaeger, that is like you always have a bottle of vodka in your house. This guy, you always have to have one or 36 bottles of Jaeger in your house.
Although if you're trying to turn it up a notch, I think that's one way to go about it.
Yeah.
Although I don't know that you can gather enough people to finish 36 bottles.
He's got
to
be selling it. He's got to sell it.
To just high school kids.
Yeah. Who's the liquor in high school with the gold in it?
Goldschlager.
Like that's it. The flakes.
Yeah. That's
like,
when I had.
When's the last time you had one of those?
My 21st birthday. 21 shots, and then I was like, beep beep, never doing that again.
Last week.
Last week, Tony had some Goldschlager.
Yep. Jeremy Sally.
Said Goldschlager shots.
That's what he does.
That's what he likes.
Drinks Bud Lights and nips of Goldschlager and.
Yep.
So it's just Bud Angries and Goldschlager.
Goldschlager and,
that's a
and what's the other one?
Pretty good combo.
Deer Blood.
Jaeger.
Goldschlager and Jaeger.
Tone, that's what we're talking about, Jaeger.
Wait. Got a Goldschlager. Oh, man.
Oh, Jaeger. Oh, the thing you guys are talking about.
Deer Blood.
Yeah, so.
I'm drunk.
That guy.
L-I.
That guy's not a good guy. All right, what else you got? What is he? This is hands down. We surpassed 500 likes on Facebook.
And that's it.
And now
show is just
we're hot dogging it now.
We're high stepping right now.
Well, Deion
Sanders.
2 days we're, left to meet our. What was that article? Did I read that?
Oh yeah. Tony needs.
Next week.
Yeah, it's usually a Thursday type deal, Wednesday Thursday deal that you write. So tonight you got to find something. You got to scour the internet.
I have to get more likes than we got last week.
Yeah. We got to surpass 600. What else you got?
There was a NASCAR event, and it was sponsored by the National Rifle Association.
Horrible group of human beings.
The NRA.
Yeah.
And a dude tried to commit suicide by shooting himself.
He tried to, or it was an accident?
I think he, no. Yeah. It was reported at Texas Motor Speedway, the NRA 500, that a man died in the infield today. The medical examiner has determined the cause of death to be suicide via gun.
So this guy in the infield of a...
In the infield of an event called the NRA 500. Bullet to the dome. See you in the next life.
Look, you have every right to own a gun. I've never even held a gun, let alone shot a gun. Have you ever shot a gun?
Neither
have I.
I've shot a pistol, a handgun pistol. A Winchester
shotgun.
Where are you
running off shooting guns? Where are you
South doing? Carolina, dude.
Into, like, the forest? Or
into the, you know, there was...
Are you shooting
pigeon.
Animals?
No, clay pigeon is named after an animal, but I'm pretty sure it's not alive.
Yeah.
And then targets. My brother-in-law, his father, teaches, like, shooting lessons. And so he took me out there, and we just shot off, like, a semi-automatic thing at the target, and I think I did all right.
You hit something.
I hit something. I bet the squirrels over there were like, what the hell?
What's going on out here? I just never had a desire to shoot a gun.
I mean, I don't have, like, I've shot a gun, and I don't have, like, a fiending desire to shoot a gun.
I have friends that go to the range all the time. They love it.
I mean, I think it might be a good way to relieve stress, but I feel like there's, I have another way to relieve stress.
Me too.
Ever since you were 14.
Son of a bee.
What else you got on Duty You Serious, Neil?
Mike Rice is coaching 12-year-old girls now.
No, he's not. No, he's not. Now, for the folks that don't know, I mean, everybody knows Mike Rice in this area, but Mike Rice is the guy from Rutgers who was throwing basketballs at his players' faces, point-blank range, shamed himself, got let go, still making some money, and now he's coaching 12-year-old girls. Look at the picture you have of him. He's just an angry fellow.
Yeah, an AAU... 12-year-old AAU game, and he's coaching.
Who allowed that? Is it his daughter?
Holmdel High in New Jersey.
Is it his daughter at least, or?
Crazy as ever, yelling at both refs and kids. How do you yell? This is what, and this is going to segue to my next dude, are you serious? I can't understand getting that fired up at an AAU. I mean, the AAU people, I never did the AAU thing,
ooh.
But I know kids and parents that were in that, and they were intense.
Yeah.
And I understand that. But it's like, how many of those kids go on to actually get a scholarship A in college or be any good in high school, B?
Right, and I think the guys that do would have been that good anyway. You know what I mean? Like, the guys that do all these, like, Nike and McDonald's All-American, they would have been there anyway. They just
like,
happened
one or two of those people, they owe a debt of gratitude to their parents because the parents kept on pushing them. But a lot of those kids just freak out in high school and just go to the complete other
route. Oh, 100%. I know. So, baseball, like, I only played youth baseball. I didn't play football until my sophomore year in high school. So, I never played Pop Warner. I never played Biddy basketball. I didn't do any of that. I only played baseball. And I only played in the local Little League, Cranberry League in Norwalk, you know. And I know a lot of kids that went to the, you know, travel teams and all of that, and they either weren't good or they were good and just were completely burnt out. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not going to mention names on names, but Tony will know Guy McMahon that did all these travel teams and all this stuff and would have been a really good player if he had played at a school like Hopkins or something like that. But he went out and played at Valparaiso, which is way over his head. He played a half its season and quit and never played baseball again and, you know, just smoked pot the rest of his days. It's like you get burnt out. I'm not going to do that to my kids. Well, I have all daughters, so they're just going to play women's lacrosse. Scholarship.
I just hope she wears a face mask, dude.
Yeah.
Do they wear face masks in the women's lacrosse?
Yeah, I think so. But they got the no pockets. They don't really throw the ball that hard. Although I don't know that they do wear face masks.
Yeah. You gotta check into that. I know the field hockey chicks sometimes wear face masks.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
But I mean, you know, it gives you personality.
Yeah, it's a good story. What else you got, Neil? Anything else?
So, piggybacking on that, there was a lingerie football league coach who dropped an F-bomb filled locker room rant.
Come on.
I mean, talk about taking yourself too seriously. And I can understand, you have there's some, and this is not to knock the women that play in that league, because, you know, as funny as it sounds or as light as you want to take it, those women want to play real football.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
And they're good, and they're athletic, and, you know, they have
There's not talent. A joke of, like, these little
to
girls.
To them, I mean, they take it very seriously.
100%.
And so, you know, maybe this is his way of getting them to respond or whatever, but at the same time, dude, it's lingerie football.
Exactly. Yeah. Why are you Raven? You know, I think the same thing. We have a lot of friends and a lot of listeners that coach like youth baseball.
Yeah.
And I hang out with these guys, and they will talk about the, like, you would think it's Brian. I'm sitting with Brian Cashman, Sandy Alderson. Like, the way they talk about these guys, well, I don't know if Billy can cut it at this level of AAU baseball. And you're like, dude, this kid's 14. You know what I mean? Like, he wants to play baseball. And they're, like, yelling about, oh, he went on vacation, I'm going to cut him next year. And you're like, yeah, you should go on vacation with your family.
Should we have him switch hit and be ambidextrous?
He's going to blunt every time. You're like, just let the kid take some cuts.
Yeah.
He's 14 years old, and 5 years, never going to have a chance to play baseball again. These girls are just playing. I mean, you want them to play hard, but an F-bomb-laced thing is insane.
Yeah, and I mean, but maybe the girls, I don't know, some girls are
spying. I would like to see how that turned out in the second half. Maybe they turned it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, some girls are spying.
You don't know the end of that story. Maybe they came out and it was like a Rudy-like heroic.
Exactly. They just turned it, yeah, okay, never mind. I got to, yeah.
The annexation of Puerto Rico.
So, all right, and I have two stories that are tied together that I'll try and do real quick. There was a gift delivered at Wrigley Field. A goat's head.
Did we talk about this?
Last week.
We did talk about it?
Let's talk about it again. Why not?
It's all right, well, to piggyback on that, it seems like that's the trend nowadays because the UFC fighter Conor McGregor ate a sheep's entire head for breakfast.
Wait a minute. Say that whole thing over again.
UFC fighter Conor McGregor ate an entire sheep's head for breakfast.
On a dare, or on, like, it was like a pre-fight thing, like a...
Off a GP.
That's a terrible job by him.
You
ever seen a little sheep? They're adorable.
It's protein. Yeah. I mean, you can't argue with that.
They're adorable.
There are easier ways to get your protein.
And I'll tell you another fun fact about sheep.
I went to... easier ways to get your protein. But
yeah, exactly. And the... Exactly. But the... when I went to New Zealand, a fun fact, there's like 60 million sheep in that country and like 6 million people. That's all I got about sheep.
Can you run down the numbers again?
It's like 60 million sheep and like 6 million people.
So
it's like 10 to 1.
10 to 1.
Sheep to people.
So that's like, well, you figure you eat one sheep's head per meal. You got, you know, You got at least 3 days worth of meals.
Yeah, and the sheep reproduce faster. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I got to talk to my friends in New Zealand. I made a lot of friends over there. It's a great country.
Apparently,
I would retire there.
Just messing the place up.
I'll tell you this about protein, and it's a good rule of thumb. The fewer legs, the better protein. So, like a cow's got protein, it's got four legs. It's better to eat chicken because it's only got two legs, and it's even better to eat fish, no legs. That's just something I'm going to give you as an aside. As a health thing, because I'm a health guy.
Yeah, but you got to worry about mercury.
I'll take my
Mike.
Shirt off right now.
You got to worry about mercury, Mike.
No, tilapia. They grow it in the tanks, dude.
The mercury is everywhere in those things.
Not in tilapia.
Mercury.
Is that all you got?
You wish it was all I got.
No, you got more. All right, let's go. Let's keep going. This show is never going to end. It feels like it's midnight. What else you got?
Wait, all right, I'll do one more. You want to do one more?
One more, Neil, and then I'm going to cut you off.
Faith Hill will no longer be doing a Sunday Night Football intro.
She
should have
been doing it in the first place.
Yeah, that stunk.
It stunk, but it
was... She was very good looking.
You know, mute it, all right, guy? Mute it and just acknowledge.
It was so annoying.
Yeah, but she's wearing her
body.
No, I
never wanted to actually mute it. I was already turning in after the fact. The game was already started.
Yeah, it was... I always
like the intro itself stinks, but to not be able to see her in her short dress and the high heels and the long legs.
But she wore that leather thing sometimes. Yeah, she was very good looking. Who's going to replace her? That's the big debate.
That's our top 10 for tonight. So we got the top 10 people that should... No.
Yeah.
Michael Bublé.
Bieber.
Genius. A.K.A. the Jizza.
A.K.A. Bobby Digital.
A.K.A. the kid who just says,
the Liquid Sword kid.
New York Giants.
Imagine they started every
New York
night.
Jets.
It's just like a little like Shogun Assassins.
They share a stadium.
I'm very creepy. For some reason, the Tri-State Scores guys played me in the middle of their show.
Do you think that kid knew what he was getting to when he did that?
He's like, no, he didn't do the play. That's from a movie.
Someday, I'm going to be on a podcast.
Yeah. He was in a movie, Shogun Assassins. That's a real movie. I have friends that are super Wu-Tang fans that have watched that movie. Have you ever caught that?
I've never seen it. But
I know a lot of people are like, you've never seen Shogun Assassins? I'm like, no, I've never seen Shogun Assassins.
I have other
things to do. Tony's watching Angel Cabrera blow the Masters.
I will not stay in silence. I can't watch that.
There's got to be a long line at the Red Box thing for me to do that. Now, Tony, you got any... say what? So you want to just get right into some other stuff? What do you got?
I don't have any say what. I think good enough to speak on the website.
Tony D, if you guys are not on going to our website constantly, you guys are really missing out. It's tristatesportsguys.com. It's the one plug that I can give that I consistently get right.
_
And it's just tristatesportsguys.com. Tony's consistently putting up songs of the day. He's doing some local stuff. He had some Twitter beef stuff that's been fantastic. We had one where we had to shut down the comments this week because there were legitimate death threats on our website.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a call at work. I got a call from FBI. Yeah, we got a...
They want to know what's going on.
They want to know what's what. You know what I mean? There's death threats going on nowadays on our website.
Please.
It's funny that we're still at a point that people get that mad over the computer about something like that.
People were so angry. Like, and I'm not really fine. I'm at work, and all of a sudden I'm getting texts, and, like, people were so angry about this. And I thought it was fantastic. And I'll tell you, you know who's not a fan of it? The whole thing. Take one guess who would have texted me to say he's not a fan of the direction that this website's gone.
Our former co-host. You know what? Just to let you know, our former co-host, my head, I will not have any problem falling asleep tonight than I did last night.
He asked me what my thoughts were about it. And I said, I think it's awesome. And he was just like, I guess we're different people. He's like, I would be beyond furious.
Because you're not, you don't have the mentality of...
Stuff from the whack.
A 12-year-old girl.
I don't know.
Listen, I love him.
I love him to death. But he was... But
I hate
you,
him.
We would not have been...
He's
would not,
still salty from the Demera article.
Yeah, I think he is. He's angry at the... Kate
angry
Rooney.
At what, though?
Because you called him out. You said that he didn't know that... Brother.
First of all, if there was 100,000 people reading our website, then I could see where it would be a problem.
And they all knew, like...
Exactly. There's probably, I guarantee you, there's probably 30 people that read the article, and three of them know
who O is.
So
he did not like it. He did not like it one bit. You called him out on it. He didn't like the direction of it.
I want, you know what we
the
should
direction
do?
That he's, that's a,
every wow. week we should set up a podium and a video camera.
Yeah.
We should have O respond to every week's show and every article that Tony puts up.
I will tell you right now.
A full-on address.
If
he'll
he
wear,
was,
he'll wear
he
like
was
a,
on this show this week, this particular week,
he would have walked out.
Pre-edit. He would have. He'd be long gone. He'd be fascinated
about Kim Kardashian's outfits and, you know, the shows that he watches. You know, because he was big on that Kardashian.
He loved it. You know what? I will give him a lot of credit for. We have now taken a turn where we do a lot of pop culture stuff, a lot of music stuff.
Yeah.
He was the genesis of that. Remember, he used to do his
Absolutely.
Potpourri.
Absolutely.
We started like after doing the show for about 6 or 8 months. We started at the end of our top our 5 and 10 used to always be Potpourri, and he would give us something, and it was a big hit. Everybody liked it.
Yeah.
And that's where the show is now. We're mostly a gossip site. But
I mean,
but we do a sports show, and it's very well received.
We're legit gossip, though.
Yeah, like legit. This is verified.
We focus on, you know,
verified.
Very important, man, you know, things that are going on.
We need, here's what we need. And I'm Tony, you're the producer. I need you to test this. We need to get back into, just for one show only, get back over to our old studio, videotape it. We'll have guests. We'll have O back in. We're going to have that all happen just for one week only.
And then we'll upload it to
DailyMotion.com.
Yeah. That was too long.
No,
that was not fast enough on a reason.
Dot org?
You both are like.
No, I said dot org.
What? I thought I said it wrong.
You got it right. You just didn't read the response.
They both of you were like. He means YouTube,
like,
right? You're talking about YouTube?
DailyMotion.net.
DailyMotion.com, Neil. And I want you to promote the hell out of it.
I will.
We're going to get it back in there. We're gonna get O back in studio. We're gonna get JT back in studio.
It'll be like a big reunion show.
We're gonna get Jimmy Pellegrino. We're gonna get Coop.
Cannot wait.
Tucci. What's his face? That's on ESPN now.
We're
gonna get
Zubin Mehenti will call in. He said he can call in. He said he doesn't care about the ESPN thing. ESPN blocks anybody from going on any other show. Zubin said he can call in.
Yeah.
He told O that. He's still listening.
I'm on a secure line, guys.
Yeah. So we can get. I think we need to have some sort of show.
It'll
for
be
that.
Like the last episode of Seinfeld.
We'll be on trial. I'm just trying to think who else we had. We had Dan Santarella on, P. Hitta, who has been disgraced on our website.
We got Chief Wiggum.
I'll tell you what, did you watch Party of Five back in the day?
No.
You didn't ever?
I've never seen one episode of Party
really?
Of Five.
You know who the chick is, huh? Really?
No, me neither.
I know who she is. She's from Mean Girls.
Lacey Chabert, dude.
Yeah.
She's from Mean Girls.
Is that where she's from, right?
No.
Yeah,
she's from
Party
she
of
is.
Five is what she's from.
I don't know what she's from, but she's from Mean Girls, right? I've seen that movie.
Why?
That movie's a very good movie. I like Tim Meadows. He's very funny.
Oh,
good.
That is a good movie, yeah.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, that was the peak of Lindsay Lohan's career.
Yeah. I think if you're trying to make – you were talking about Party of Five, you're making fun of me about Mean Girls?
Party of Five?
I never caught Party of Five.
Matthew Fox is on Party of Five,
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. Jennifer Love Hewitt, too.
Yeah. I know the people who are in it. It's a very famous show, guys. You don't have to break it down. I wasn't out of the country. I know what it is.
You
watched
Beverly Hills?
I watched Beverly Hills on 2-0 because that was like 6th, 7th grade, and the girls, and that's the only way.
Party of Five was like, wasn't that on in between?
I don't know. I know I watched some Beverly Hills on 2-0 because all the girls in middle school.
Yeah,
but nobody was like, people weren't coming to West Rocks Middle School talking about Party of Five. They were talking about 90210.
I went to Rowan. Yeah.
Rowan's a different. You were on a different
party
side of the track.
I was in our Rowan in line.
Yeah, that's right.
Party
of Five was like, what was going on over at your side of town? West Rocks were more of a 90210.
I didn't
crowd.
Watch either, and that's why I didn't hook up enough.
Yeah, tell me, look, I was just trying to make out. Back, you know, that's what you're trying to do now. So we're in the same boat. You're back in the 1992 Norwalk, Connecticut days. Here's where we're going to end the show. We got 10 minutes left of our bonus time. We probably are still only logged in.
We're on air. We're not bonus. We're on air. We're live.
We're live?
We're bonus and live.
We got it all here. Tony D. That's why you're the producer that's going to produce this collaboration show.
Right in the wrong direction of this show. It's not the direction we should be taking.
It really shouldn't be. I mean,
Maybe we should be taking one direction.
Yeah.
It's like a popular band. It's a bunch of. It's like a boy band and like.
Yeah,
all the,
I know who One Direction is.
Okay.
Neil. No, I'm just talking about him.
Neil, I'm familiar with the band One Direction. They're in the commercial with
Drew Brees.
That's why it's a sports show.
Same face.
Oh, that's mean. Guy could sling it from anywhere. Now, listen. Here's what I want to talk about, and we're going to get serious town. All right? You going to fuck? Were you going to regroup here?
Oh, F-bomb number one.
I did not. You bite your tongue. You play that tape back there in the edit. I did not swear. I never swear on this show. I'm the most professional one here. Now, listen. I want to talk to you a little bit about Jackie Robinson Day. Okay?
Jacqueline Robinson.
So, this day was like a little bit more special because the movie came out. Everybody's all about it.
Did you see the movie?
I did not see the movie. I don't get to go see the movie. If that movie's not on Nick Jr. or maybe Disney Jr., if it happens to be like right after the Mickey Mouse Funhouse comes on, 42 comes on, I'll catch it. But no, I'm not. I will tell you, you know what me and my wife have been watching? Like after the baby goes to bed, and we just got into it? Homeland.
Oh,
you
yeah.
watch that show?
I got to get into it.
Oh, my. Yeah. And I was like anti-home because I don't like, I thought it was going to be like a CSI, and I hate those type of dramas.
Oh,
my goodness. Your Homeland is good.
Episode, like, I watched like four episodes, and I didn't feel like it was like.
No, I'll tell you. The first episode was not. The first episode did kind of hook us.
Yeah.
But we didn't watch another episode until probably like a week later. And then we watched a couple. And then in the middle of that season, we were watching four a night. Like, we just started watching maybe like a month ago. And we just got through season one, which is 12 episodes. And now we just, two nights ago, we watched the first episode of season two.
And you're into it.
But, yeah, the middle of season one, when it's going, like, every one of those episodes, and towards the end of that season.
It's good.
Yeah. It gets to be, like, and I'm not going to say it, like, to me, the best drama ever is Lost. But it's one of those things where you're like, oh. It's like there's so many, like, underlying stories. To me, now I'm on season two. And now you kind of know what's going on, so it's not as good. That's not going to ruin any stories. But now, like, all of the secrets kind of are unveiled, so it's like, all right, now it's not as good. But I don't know. We're going to probably watch one tonight after this.
People still love it, so they're definitely...
I've heard that season two is better than season one, so I only did one episode. So, but that's an aside. So now we're on to Jackie Robinson Day, the great tradition. Everybody wears number 42. It's now been 63 years. The right man?
Yeah.
63 years, maybe more than that. It's been 66 years since Jackie Robinson broke into the major leagues, and it's been great. And the big thing about baseball now is, you know, African Americans in the major leagues numbers are way down, and they're trying to do this
like,
big resurgence of
like
it.
8% or something like that, right? Or 13%?
It's just below 8%. It's like 7.9%.
Well, you know, the national average is 13, I think.
Yeah, and here's the thing: I don't think that's something you could force upon anyone. And growing up in Norwalk, Norwalk's a town of probably, there's probably 30-35% African Americans.
And it's a great point that you bring up, and I'm totally derailing your momentum. I apologize.
All of it. Yeah, go ahead. What else? I used to better be a good point. Go ahead. This is my.
What about the NBA? If the national average for the United States is 13%, you're telling me that there's 13%.
Well, no,
NBA
exactly.
Players.
Or NFL, or
NFL.
There's a lot, right. I mean, so there is skewed. So the big thing is, why are young African American athletes, you know, trending towards other sports and not baseball? And there's a lot of different underlying currents that everybody says it's because it costs too much money to join Little League because you need a bat, you need a glove, you need all these things, and you can't
just
play
football.
Exactly, football. But the thing is, you can't just play a pickup game of baseball. Football, everybody plays. I mean, like I said, I didn't play organized football until I was a sophomore in high school, but I played football my whole life.
Right. You can do like 3-on-3. You can do 5-on-5.
Yeah, you
five.
Could just sit there in the backyard like every day after school. We played football.
Yeah.
You could have
5 people and have an automatic quarterback, and you got a football game.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We used to.
Or even, you know, 3 people.
3 people. We used to do it with 3 people. I mean, in my neighborhood, we'd play. It was normally 5 people, but we'd play with 3. And basketball, obviously, you could just play with 2 people, 3 people, wherever. I think that's
2 people, 3 people. Baseball is not.
Exactly.
Not
you can't
that fun.
Do it. You could play wiffle ball.
You have to go to like a cage.
Well, we used to play wiffle ball with 3 people.
Yeah.
Definitely, and we'd play wiffle ball. You know, but wiffle ball is a little bit different. My thing is, the reason why I gravitated towards baseball, and it's really simple, my father was all about baseball. My father is, like, such a huge baseball fan. So, growing up, like, it's all I want to do. It was always on TV. The Mets were always on TV. My dad watches every single Met game. Even down in Florida, he had to get the package. So he watches every game. So, I always played it.
Now, with his package, because my mom's down in South Carolina, and she always is complaining about the fact that she has to listen to the other opponents.
If they're
announcers.
Away. Yeah,
if they're
he
away.
Hates that.
Yeah.
He hates that.
How is there not an option? You're paying good money to watch this game. You can't just select audio.
But you know what I did give my dad a little aside, now that he's got a smartphone, in the last year, he's all about it, texts me and stuff, but you can get the MLB At-Bat app, $20 for the whole year.
Yeah.
You get every radio broadcast, both home and away, of every game.
Yeah.
So I listen to it all the time. Like if I'm at work and there's a day game and I'm sitting at work, I listen to it on my phone. It's awesome. So you do get that, but they don't give you that option on the MLB package, because I got it when I switched back to cable. They gave it to me for a year, and it is awesome.
Yeah.
But you don't get it. Sometimes they will give you, you know, there's enough channels available, they'll give you both. Like, you could find it on both.
Because they're like, if I forget to check the schedule, I know it's an away game because my mom is texting me and saying, these Reds announcers are brutal.
I think it's awesome, though, because you realize how good the New York announcers are.
No, the Mets announcers.
But I'll tell you,
the Yankees announcers
on TV aren't that bad. The team of Kay and Leiter and O'Neill, they're not that bad.
I've watched.
You have to see some of the other ones. But I will tell you this: I like it, and especially on the radio, the best announcers in the whole country, and it's not even close. Chicago White Sox. I make a point to find out because these Chicago White Sox, they're such homers. Like, you know, everybody's like,
His name is the Hawk or something like
the
that?
The Hawk.
Yeah, yeah.
He will, it'll be Albert Pujols up at bat. He'll hit a 500-foot home run and be like, Albert Pujols strides up to the plate, and the 0-0 pitch. That's a home run to left field. And that's how he says it. And then it'll be like a regular, like, bloop single day in Viciado. And he's like, strokes the ball to left field.
God guided that ball.
Yeah. I get a kick out of it. So I like hearing all these other things. But that's why I was a big baseball fan growing up, because that's kind of what was around me. So I liked football, but my dad was a Jet fan, but not it's not like Sundays I spent watching football with my dad. You know what I mean? So I think a lot of it has to do with, I mean,
can I give a quick shout out to Pat Summerall?
Yeah, passed away, and he was great. Anybody that played Madden, especially in the 90s, he was on there with Madden. He was great.
I got to post this one, and it's really ironic that I found it too. It was NFL Network has classic games. They air classic games, and it was a Packers Cowboys game from 1994. Yeah. Brett Favre was a youngin.
Yeah.
And it was commentated by John Madden, Pat Summerall, and it was like them at their best. And this is when it just switched to Fox. It was like the first year that Fox got the games.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was an explanation by Madden where it was like, and you see, when they blow the whistle, that means the play is dead.
No way.
And that means that you can't score a touchdown. Because when the whistle blows, that means you can't score a touchdown. And Pat's like, thanks, John.
Well, they were playing on Mike and Mike today. They told two good things. So they talked about that, how it was very simple. And they talked about how he got discovered. He got discovered by his roommate was getting called about a job, and the guy liked his voice when he picked up the phone. Said, have you ever thought about broadcasting? That's where I got into it. So, but yeah, as an aside. So, you know, that's how we got into baseball as a family. The question I have, and we only got a minute left to bring it back to Jackie Robinson, is now the next frontier of, like, Jackie Robinson breaking through the color barrier, being the best thing ever.
The gay barrier?
The gay barrier. Yeah. And everybody's comparing it. And I agree.
The barrier.
And I, there you go. That's why you're the color man. And so I agree that it is the
how
only.
How dare you when we're talking about Jackie Robinson? Never mind.
I agree with you that is the next – that's the only barrier, really. Compare that to what Jackie Robinson went through, to me, is a little crazy. Because Jackie Robinson is getting the death threats. If a gay player comes down in the NFL, there will be the crazies out there.
Yeah.
But 90% of America is going to be behind the guy. Yeah. You know, especially in the media, is going to be all behind the guy.
But can you imagine if a gay guy came out back then?
That would be worse than Jackie.
Yeah.
It would have been worse than Jackie. But I just don't think that's going to be the case. But – that's the end of our show. It's been a great show. I'm glad. It's probably our last show. So signing off with the Tri-State Sports Guys, tristatesportsguys.com, facebook.com/Tri-State Sports Guys, or @Tri-State_Sports on Twitter.
Nice.
Yeah, nailed it.
Dude, we're a great show. Congratulations, Neil, on being a great show. Tony D, you got to come up with something good.
Boom.
That's the end of our show.
I'm going to get blacked out.
Alarm off. Oh, we was all fucked. I'm done. We got a ship.
No, I want to see if you can do this.
I bet you didn't ask me if I wanted.
Yeah, it never asked me, because I remember trying to edit one.
It's done. There's no power.
No, it's still time left. We're still on air.
Hello. We're going to edit some more then.
Bonus time with the Tri-State Sports Guys. Sweet Caroline. Good times never felt so good.
Were you on the phone or were we on the heart?
Pat called me. He's probably calling like, yeah, your show sucks.
He's like, dude, what was that?
I didn't hear a thing for 45 minutes.
He just said it.
Yeah, it never pops up.
Click on an episode. Did you click on an episode yet? I think it comes up after that, right? Click on it.
I feel like it's mine.
Oops. Calling my
wife. Ta!
Kaki!
Do I hit end? No, it's just going to kill it, though.